Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived. This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from out of Chicago. And folks, it is still beautiful in the land of Chicago, and I hope, I truly do hope that it's beautiful where you are, you know, because it is totally balmy. It's totally nice, very nice. Wind blowing a little bit, but it's nice. It's very nice in the city of Chicago and wherever you are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I do hope you are listening. And, you know, I just hope it's great wherever you are. I mean, weather-wise and also in other ways, too. I hope it's everything's going okay in your life and with your family. And things are just dandy. If they're not, then something is wrong, of course. And we're going to have to work on that. 347-857-1762. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show. We are now on the air, folks. And it's 6:02 straight up Chicago time. I think it's about 54 degrees in Chicago at this time. But you know, I'm still saying I think Chicago is being set up because the weather has just been too damn nice. The weather has just been crazy nice. You know what I'm saying? It's been crazy nice. It's been unfamiliar territory. Like I said yesterday on the show, the Four Seasons, not the singing group, but the Four Seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. I mean, you can't seem to tell each from one from another anymore. It's just the weather has been all over the place. You know, I mean, we're having summer and winter and summer and strangeness all over the place. You know, it wasn't like it was years ago when everything seemed to be coacting all together, but now it's just everything, the seasons are just all over the place. But anyway, I'm not complaining. I'm the type of guy who wants the winter to be winter, summer to be summer, fall to be fall, spring to be spring. You know, that's the kind of guy I am. But if we get spring a lot earlier and then we just, you know, we miss winter, that's fine with me. But I just feel that enjoying all of this nice and wonderful weather in the city of Chicago, that once when we do get bad weather, we're going to get it. I mean, because, you know, it's just been too nice. And I don't know how to explain it. I can tell you what other people are saying. Well, it's El Nino. Well, it's climate change and all of this kind of thing. Whether it's something is going on up in space or something. Somebody's messing with an apparatus is up in space that's changing the the atmosphere. I mean, you get all kind of excuses for this thing, folks. The only thing I can say is enjoy it. You're blessed. You know, enjoy it if you can. If you're around weather like this, enjoy it. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and folks, we are ready. And I want to start with something that's really, really horrible. And I'm pretty sure if you have been paying attention, you know all about this. Wow, Jewish communities and schools attacked. All these attacks on Jewish centers around the U.S. I mean, what is it? What is it with hate? What is it with all of these attacks on these Jewish centers? Why? Why are these? What is it? These people have done nothing to anybody to deserve this type of hate, destruction, and vile, you know, attacks. I don't understand this kind of violence. This is racism, pure racism. I mean, just like some people are just, they hate so much that they go around burning down black churches in the South and just, you know, shooting up people who are praying to their God in these churches, these African-American churches. I just don't understand the hate that is in some people's hearts. The hate, the vile, the nastiness, excuse me, the cruelty. I just don't understand it, you know. And if you're nice, you're gullible, and you have a heart, most people try to take advantage of that. Well, he's a nice guy. He loves everything. And, you know, so we can probably get him for his cash. See if we can get him to give us his debit card because he's such a nice person. People will do that. They will try to take advantage of you if they know that you're nice, if you have a caring heart, a caring demeanor, and you want to help other people. The people are out there scamming you because they figure you're going to be nice enough to, you know, give them the money that you have in your wallet or your purse, which is crazy, or give them your debit or credit card number. You know, it's crazy. And let me get back to the attacks on these Jewish centers around the United States. This is crazy. You know, people have so much hate in their hearts. It's just crazy. I mean, when you have that type of hate, you don't really have a heart, right? You don't really have a heart. And violence, this type, I mean, the president should come out, Donald Trump. He should come out and condemn this kind of thing. I mean, not just with words, but with some action behind those words. I think Donald Trump is a lot of mouth, a lot of lies, but because I don't think he's actually going to put anything, any force behind anything he says. The only thing he's going to put force behind, and that goes for Bruce Rauner, is cutting social programs, cutting Medicare, cutting Medicaid, Social Security. This is all the Republicans about. They're not about condemning the hate that's going around the country. They're about hurting vulnerable people. They are about hurting the poor and coming after the middle class workers. That's what these people are about. Instead of condemning all of this violence, Trump has talked about the violence in Chicago many times. He's tweeted about it, how he can stop it, how he can end it, how he have only he have the plans to bring this thing to an end. We haven't seen it. Trump is a bunch of mouth. That's all he is. And we haven't seen, he hasn't came to Chicago. He hasn't provided any agents or any federal agents from Washington. He hasn't did anything. The Army, the National Guard, he hasn't provided anything. He hasn't even come to Chicago. But he can talk about Chicago violence. If you want to talk about Chicago violence, be a part of the solution. Trump is not a part of the solution. He's just talking, blowing out air, lying. You know, I think Trump is such a pathological liar that he doesn't even know he's a liar. He believes what he believes. What he believes, you may not believe. What he sees and what he thinks may be different from you. I actually think the guy is, I don't know. He's just backwards. What can I say? I mean, he keeps on accusing Obama of wiretapping. And everybody who's anybody with a level head saying that it's not true. But he's still saying it. The guy's got a mental problem or something. And the Republicans are going to investigate it. As I was saying yesterday on the show, they're going to waste taxpayer money to investigate a lie. And I think once they get through with their investigation and they find out that there's nothing there, Trump should be reprimanded. Or a muzzle should be put on his mouth. His Twitter account should be taken away because it's abuse. You know, so I don't know. I'm always getting off course here, but I started off talking about the Jewish communities. Some of these people are on edge right now. They're afraid to go out. They're afraid to attend worships, their synagogues and all that kind of thing. They're afraid of violence. And I don't blame them. You know, this is crazy. America is just not the America that it once used to be. Donald Trump talked about making America great again. That he's actually has made America, you know, one of the worst countries in the world. If you talk to some of these outside leaders, you know, and some of the people in some Americans also. I mean, majority of Americans in this country feel embarrassed by Trump. That is no doubt about it. The majority of the people are embarrassed by Trump. I think I'm embarrassed by Trump too. And there are some people who are saying that he lacks leadership skills. That's no doubt about that. And an over majority of people, I mean, they're saying that he's very, very, very dishonest. And he is bringing America down to the ground lower than it has ever been, or it has been at all, period. And this guy is just constantly doing this. But in his mind, he's making America great again. But everybody else is saying that he has flushed America right down the toilet. You know, you got people leaving the country, you know, because of Trump. But, you know, his team, you know, they're not going to admit anything like that. No, they're not going to admit that. All right. I want to say one thing. I want people stop the hate out there. I mean, stop it. Be kind to one another. Don't hate. This is crazy. I mean, you're talking about attacks on Jewish people, attacks on these Jewish centers around the United States. This reminds me of this brings back the Holocaust. This brings back the Holocaust. And the Holocaust should be left in the past. It should be left in the past. But a lot of people are bringing it to light again by this useless and senseless violence on innocent people who have done nothing, exactly nothing to them. This is nutty. This is crazy. So if you're out there and you're hating people and you can't stand this, you can't stand that, you don't like a person of color, their nationality, their heritage. I mean, this is just nutty. I mean, this is why people all over America is saying America is divided. And we are. we are. And that's one of the things that Trump has to try to do. I don't know if he's putting any effort into doing it. And that is bringing America together. Obama wasn't able to do it. You know, he wasn't. He admitted that he wasn't able to do it. And he felt really bad about it. He felt kind of sad that he couldn't bring America together, you know. And I don't think Trump is going to do it anyway. I don't think Trump gives a damn, really. I mean, he'll say he cares, of course. But, you know, when he gets in that back room and that TV camera is not on, you can just figure it out for yourself. And they also say that Trump yells at his staff. They say this guy screams at his staff. And he found out of them, too. You know, everybody who's fired, who gets fired in the Trump administration, it does not always make the news, but he gets real. I mean, if he winds up looking bad in the media for any reason, he'll look around and see who he can fire, probably. You know, so because he's, you know, if the media is saying something bad about him, which is probably the truth, he's probably going to look around, like I said, and look around and see who he can fire. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio at 6:15. Straight up, it's 54 degrees in the city of Chicago. And my guest today is author Todd Laments. And he's going to be talking about what is he going to expert on ego control? Okay. All right. We talk about everything on this show. And hopefully we'll have a special guest later on. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see if we can do a musical break right here, folks. And I want to say this, in case anybody was trying to get through on the show yesterday, there were some problems happening that I didn't know about. And it was just brought to me. And I understand that there were some people trying to get through to me on this show on Blog Talk Radio, and they couldn't get through. They couldn't even leave comments in the comment section. See, these are things I didn't know. You know, I mean, if at least I didn't know them for yesterday. And things like this happen. So I got in touch with management and see what's to try to figure out what went on, because, you know, I can be on the air and you could be listening to me or not listening to me. Sometimes I don't even realize that. I think they should have one of these little audio bars up here to let me know that, you know, that the show is actually on the air when it should be on the air. I may be on the show thinking I'm on the air, but I'm not on the air. I may be here thinking that you're listening and you want to listen, but there's some confusion or something going on. So if any of that stuff is going on, if you can, let me know, because once the show is podcast and downloaded and processed, that's the only way I can, you know, play it back. Well, not the only way, but that's the only way I do it here. I'm going to try and find other ways of doing it, because I'm pretty sure it's a little bit simpler. But if you should detect any kind of disruption in the show or you hear things like sounds that I don't usually present on this show, something's wrong. I mean, if it's breaking up, it's cracking. If it sounds like it's cracking, then something is wrong. And we have to get those things fixed. Technical difficulties, folks, that happen, okay? And if you spot them before I do, please call me and let me know, 347-577-1762, so I can jump right on it. All right, like I said before, my guest is Todd Laments and commentary on the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is great to be with you, folks. This is March 2017.
at first you both seem pretty cordial to each other. Fast forward a few weeks, he's calling you the head clown. You're chanting dump Trump at rallies. Clearly you're not working together anymore. So what do you mean by dump Trump?
Well, we have to stop him when, look, here's what I believe. You should always be guided by your values. That's my internal gyroscope. The higher up you go in politics and in anything else in life, the more fierce the winds blow. So if you have your own beliefs, your own values, and stick with them, you'll stay on course. So when Trump calling me names doesn't affect me, Trump trying to flatter me, which he did, doesn't affect me. If he sticks with the right values, I won't oppose things just because the name Trump is on it. But when he's against our values and American values, I'll fight him tooth and nail. And that's my guide, not what Trump says or doesn't say.
Senator, let's get to this other personality issue with him, because Al Franken, Senator Al Franken, last week said, and I quote him, a few Republican senators think President Trump may have mental health issues. Now, I hate to brag, but I said that months ago. And I got a lot of flack from Bill O'Reilly saying I was being disrespectful, but now everybody's wondering about it. Do you share his concerns?
Let me put it like this. When you talk to Republicans quietly, you know, in the cloakroom, in the gym, they are having real problems with him. Now, very few, John McCain to his credit, but very few have had the courage to oppose him, even though they know he's doing a lot of things that are against what America is all about.
What are they
Well, they're party loyalists. He's given him a Supreme Court nominee that they want. But my prediction is he keeps up on this path, which is likely. I don't think he'll change. Within 3-4 months, you're going to see a whole lot of Republicans breaking with him.
I hope so.
And that's the salvage of America.
I hope so.
That is the hope of America.
I think very few people would do any more than kvetch at him if he were to do it the right way. Do you know what I mean? If you do things the right way, then we can have a dialogue and disagree as we do. But the minute you veer off into some insane place, when you put people in charge who truly don't know what they're doing, I have questions to the Republicans. Why would you allow all of this? So is the Republican happier because he's got a Supreme Court nominee? Is that more important than what the Constitution stands for?
You're right, Whoopi. I was so disappointed. So many of the cabinet was the worst cabinet I've ever seen in the history of America. First, Donald Trump. Donald Trump campaigned on cleaning up Wall Street and getting the special interests in swamp out of the cabinet. We call his cabinet the swamp cabinet, billionaires and bankers. Totally against what he campaigned on. Some of these people, Donald Trump got up and said, I am not going to cut Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid. Two of his top cabinet nominees have made their career of cutting Medicare, Medicaid, and one of them Social Security. So he's totally deviating from what he said. I told him this. I said, you know, you campaigned, and just what you said, Whoopi, in a different way, you campaigned as a populist against both the Democratic and Republican establishments. And if you continue to do that, you'll have some successes. But if you do what you've been doing, just move to the hard, hard right, way beyond what most Republicans are for, you're going to be a failure. And that's what's going to happen.
But he's listening to Bannon. That's the problem.
I think that he thinks he did it his way and he won and he's not going to change very soon. But I do think and hope and pray that a lot of the Republicans, they're mainstream people. I don't agree with them on the issues, but they're good people, that they will feel they have no choice but to break with them.
I agree with you.
What John McCain said is so real. You know, the press has always been a counter to people in power. What Donald Trump, none of us, every one of us gets criticized with the press, by the press. We don't like it, but it makes, probably keeps us better. And when he totally just demeans them, and when he's wrong and then calls them fake news, that's trouble for the democracy.
Senator, there have been many people are concerned about recent allegations. Many people are concerned about these recent allegations that the White House potentially has ties to Russia, and there have been reports that there may have been communication between the Trump campaign and Russian officials all throughout the election. What is going to happen here? Can you
reassure people? Will they get to the bottom line of this? And what do you expect? How's this going to play out?
Well, first, one thing we know for sure. Every intelligence agency who's looked at this, all the law enforcement, that Russia tried to influence the election. Mm-hmm. That alone is a terrible thing. We have not had that. In that constitution, mm-hmm. they talk about something called the Emoluments Clause,
yeah.
which means
right.
you shouldn't, a president should not get any benefit from a foreign country, because mm-hmm. they were worried about foreign countries having
yes.
undue influence.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So that means he should publish his tax returns. That means he should divest of all his holdings so he doesn't benefit.
Okay.
But was there... So... Russia tried to influence. Was there, did Trump participate in that and help?
Yeah.
If he did, that's really serious. So there is, right now, there's an investigation going on okay. mm-hmm. by the FBI. And what I have called for today, actually, in an article in the Washington Post, I am worried that Jeff Sessions, mm-hmm. the attorney general, is so close to Trump mm-hmm. in so many ways that that investigation certainly won't have the appearance of impartiality mm-hmm. and may not be impartial yeah. itself. So I've called today on Jed Sessions to recuse himself. And if you agree with that, yes. TV audience, tell your senator or congressman
all,
to do it.
Right. Can I just say that Republicans should back you up on that, because as we know, many Republicans called for a special prosecutor when it came to Hillary Clinton and her
exactly.
potential email scandal and Benghazi and all
and
those
Obama,
things for the right reasons.
Right.
So do you have Republican support on that? What does that feel like
not
behind
yet,
the scenes?
But hopefully
well,
we'll
you should.
Some.
I'm
well,
libertarian
just,
and he
started
should.
Today. But if people, you know, it works. These ideas of people going to town hall meetings and telling their Republican senators and congressmen they should change works.
Yes.
Writing, calling, emailing,
okay.
tweeting works.
Let me ask
please
you,
do it.
About his taxes, just before we go,
Alrighty.
I have to know this, because there's a law, 1924
yes.
law, that gives a certain congressional committees the power to subpoena
yep.
tax returns. The chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, his name is Kevin Brady,
yep.
he can request them.
Right.
He's shooting that law down, citing privacy concerns. Now, isn't the it is
that's bunk. There
that's
is no it's a law,
for.
And he can ask. So can Orrin Hatch, who's the head of the Finance mm-hmm. Committee, and Ron Wyden, who's the
yeah.
from Oregon, who's the Democratic ranking member, has asked. Or
Johansson is speaking right now here in Washington. I want to listen in.
And when the time came for STD and cancer screenings, no judgment. No questions asked. Planned Parenthood provided a safe place where I could be treated with gentle guidance. Now, I may have been 15 and surprisingly self-sufficient, but I'm sure there isn't one person here who has not been helped by Planned Parenthood directly or otherwise. When I knew I was coming to speak on behalf of women's reproductive and health issues, every single one of my girlfriends had a story about Planned Parenthood. They saved me so many times. One of my best girlfriends confided in me, saying, they saved my ass and some other parts too. When I found out I had precancerous signs I never would have known about without my annual checkups, and her speech grew more emphatic and emotional as she described how the organization had helped her decide between treatment options. She was able to make some difficult decisions, deciding what was right for her body and her then partner, without anyone else's interference. My sister also used Planned Parenthood services for years after moving states. She'd been living her whole life in New York City, pursuing her dream to move to California. She had no contacts and no health insurance, but was able to regularly see a doctor at a Planned Parenthood clinic for screenings, advice, birth control, and checkups. For the more than 2.5 million patients a year that rely on Planned Parenthood services for cancer and STD screenings, birth control, safe abortion, and pregnancy planning, these are uncertain and anxious times. Lawmakers in 24 states have tried to block patients from receiving care at Planned Parenthood. Congress has voted to limit access to reproductive services 9 times. Boo! Yes, boo! There are very real and devastating consequences to limiting access to what should be considered basic health care. For millions of Americans, Planned Parenthood is often the only trustworthy and affordable clinic providing safe education, sex education, safe abortion, and life-saving services. President Trump, I did not vote for you. That said, I respect that you are our president-elect, and I want to be able to support you. But first, I ask that you support me. Support my sister, support my mother, support my best friend and all of our girlfriends. Support the men and women here today that are anxiously awaiting to see how your next moves may drastically affect their lives. Support my daughter, who may actually, as a result of the appointments you have made, grow up in a country that is moving backwards, not forwards, and who may potentially not have the right to make choices for her body and her future that your daughter Ivanka has been privileged to have. I ask you to support all women and our fight for equality in all things, including the fight to be recognized as individuals who know better for ourselves what is right for our bodies, better than any elected official, popular or otherwise. It is a great honor for me to be speaking here in front of all of you today. After the result of this November's election, I felt as a woman, as an American citizen, a great weight bearing down on my shoulders, the feeling that the near future would present many obstacles, confrontation, and division. My immediate thought after hearing the election results was, oh man, we have so much work to do. But once the heaviness began to subside, I realized that an opportunity has presented itself to make real, long-term change, not just for future Americans, but in the way that we view our responsibilities to get involved with and stay active in our communities. Let this weight not drag you down, but help to get your heels stuck in. I pledge my relentless devotion to support women's health care initiatives. I will not stop fighting to make basic women's health care available to all. I believe with every fiber of my being that the conversations that we have with our partners and our doctors about what we do with our bodies and our future should not be made fodder for any politician, political agenda, lawmaker, and for-profit corporation. We must stand up for what are our basic human rights and always move forward, never backwards. The current political administration.
All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago, the state of Illinois. Folks, we are in some trying times. We are in some dark times. We must fight for an America without hate. We must fight for an America without bigotry. We must fight for an America without racism. We must fight for our rights. We must fight to continue to be Americans. Some of those rights are being threatened, taken away. But we have to get out here and fight the good fight. You know, and it has to be done, folks. It has to be in a non-violent way. We know how to do things non-violently. So let's go out and make our voices heard, fighting non-violently. All right. Okay. Thanks to Scarlett Johansson for that, for the for that clip, actually. And I want to talk about some things in the city of Chicago. I mean, we still have no budget in the state of Illinois. And no budget means that, especially for the kids. I mean, it seems like they just don't care anymore about education. And I just have to just rant about that. It seems as though these people care nothing more about education. You know, we don't have a budget in the state of Illinois. We haven't had a budget in the state of Illinois for 3 whole years. And I am a new fan of Chance the Rapper. I mean, I wasn't too, before this happened, I wasn't too much of a fan because I'm not into rap. I'm a little bit older, maybe a lot older, but I'm just not into it. But this guy kicked in $1 million to help the cash-strapped Chicago public schools. I mean, this was a slap in the face to Governor Rauner. This was a slap in the face to the General Assembly, filled with Democrats. And he chipped in $1 million of his own money that he's made on his own. And this makes Governor Rauner look really bad because he's keeping money away from the schools. They had a meeting, and Chance the Rapper, after the meeting, Chance the Rapper said it did not go good. I believe that's the reason that he decided that he wanted to put some of his own money in Chicago public schools, because he said he had once attended some of these Chicago public schools. So he wanted to help with the money. And $1 million, that's not going to lift the Chicago public schools up out of its financial mess, but at least it's something. At least someone cares. And I think that it's a slap in the face to Governor Rauner. It's a slap in the face of the legislature. They won't get up off their asses and do nothing. Rauner, well, from my understanding, Rauner wants, he's under pressure because of Chance the Rapper giving $1 million of his own money to these schools. And Rauner is taking money from these schools and not giving any money to these schools. He's giving the money to the downstate, the schools downstate, Illinois downstate, you know, because those are schools of those, the children are children of the rich. So he's taking from the poor and giving to the rich. And a lot of us say that's reverse Robin Hood. But, you know, Chance the Rapper, he gave $1 million to Chicago public schools. I applaud it. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. It's making these politicians look bad. You know, I don't think Michael Madigan, I don't think Mike Madigan, I don't think nothing moves him. You know, I mean, he's one of the, he's old and crusty, and he's in the legislature. He's in the House. He's the head. He's a head in the House of Representatives. He's the leader of the House of Representatives. And I don't think that nothing moves him. But this sure did light a fire under Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois. Bruce Rauner, he's now saying we want a pension. He want a CPS bill passed now. Yeah, they can do that now. But the thing about it, Rauner, whenever he says something to do something now to the legislature, to the Democratic legislature, what he means is give me what I want so I can take care of these schools. Give me what I want. And the legislature is saying you're going to take care of those schools without us giving you what you want. That's the bottom line. I mean, it sounds good when you're reading it, when you're reading it on paper or you're looking at it on the internet. Rauner pressures legislature for a pension and CPS bill now. But they do not say that that's not going to happen, because Rauner, if he's going to give something, he's going to want something. And what he wants is to bust unions. He wants is to curb workman's compensation. What he wants are term limits. And this is not sitting fair with the with the Democrats in the legislature of Illinois. So Rauner is basically holding the state of Illinois hostage until he gets what he wants. However, it doesn't seem as if he's going to get what he wants, because Michael Madigan, the leader in the House of Representatives, as I just got through mentioned, he's not going to budge on anything. He doesn't give a damn. And no budget in the state of Illinois means higher tuition at city colleges and universities, because they have to make up that money that they're not getting from the state somewhere. They have to make that money up. So they're going to raise tuition, and the books, the price of textbooks are going to go through the roof, you know. So, you know, and I'm planning on sending my kid to college, but I don't know. I'm having second thoughts, you know, because especially a public college or a public university, because if you're sending your kid to a public college or a public university, those schools are going to have to depend on state funds that are not coming. And there's been so many teacher layoffs, adjunct professors laid off. I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess. And Rauner has been governor for 3 damn years in the state of Illinois. 3 years. And we have not had a budget. And a budget means, not having a budget simply means you can't spend money. If there's money that's being spent in the state of Illinois, it's through court orders. The judge, a federal judge, said, hey, wow, that program is vital. You can't cut that program. You got to continue to fund that program. But the majority of the programs in the city of Chicago, the social programs, they have been gutted. People have lost their jobs. Kids and teenagers and the disabled seniors have been upended because of this. This man hasn't a heart, and he is a what? He is a Republican billionaire. This guy's got about 9 or 10 homes somewhere. Taking away homes of the poor, taking away their homes when he's got 10 homes, taking away their food stamps, taking away their daycare and all of this kind of stuff. And he's a billionaire. You think this guy, would have a heart. But let me say this. I am a new fan of Chance the Rapper. I never heard him anything that he's has produced. I'm heard he's pretty good. I never, been that way. But anyway, I mean, because of this great donation that he's made to Chicago Public Schools, I'm a fan. And from my understanding, he's about to donate some more if he hasn't already during this broadcast. I am totally a fan. I think, if he wants to come on this show, he can come on this show anytime he wants. You know, I mean, this guy is my hero because he's making these rotten, stinking politicians. He's making them look bad because they're taking away money, or they're preventing money from coming into these strapped cash public schools. Just for the hell of it, because they can do it. Because they can do it. I believe there's still people in the House of Representatives, some senators and some representatives, they're not getting paid because of this. And now they're pulling the comptroller, the new comptroller, whom I voted for, Susana Mendoza, and saying that she's doing something unethical in office already. And she was just voted in November 8th. You know, so I don't know where that's going to go. If it goes anywhere, I'll let you know. I'll let you know. But anyway, it's bad for schools all over the state, because Chicago State University is having budget problems. They have been having budget problems since, last year before that. Anytime you don't have a budget, and we haven't had a budget in this city, in this state for 3 years. And this guy who will not give us a budget because until he gets what he wants, which he's not going to get. So if he's not going to get what he wants, we're going to be going into a fourth year without a budget. And he's going to constantly blame Mike Madigan. Mike Madigan do share some of the blame on this, but the biggest culprit is the governor, Bruce Rauner, himself. And we got governors, we got Republican governors all over the country, and I don't understand that. We got Republican governors for one reason, folks. One reason. We got more Republican governors than the Democratic governors or any other kind of governor. We got all these Republican governors because people did not vote. We've got the Republicans running the Congress, the Senate, and the House of Representatives because people did not vote. So, and that's the truth. So if you want to whine about what's going on, vote next time, all right? Vote next time. Your vote counts. It matters. Hillary Clinton received, she received a lot of votes. I mean, she received over 3 million popular vote. You know, in the popular vote, she trounced Donald Trump. But there is that thing called the Electoral College, which upended Hillary Clinton. Folks, we have to vote. We have to vote. You just can't not sit back and think this is not going to affect you. It will. And I believe you know it will. Just look at Donald Trump's policies. Look at the Republicans in Congress and their policies. You don't like them. I don't like the majority of them. You did not vote in 2016. Maybe you voted.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. You probably did vote, but you only voted for Hillary Clinton. You didn't vote for your congressman. You did not vote for your senator. That's why the Republicans control Congress, because you did not vote. Some people walked in the voting booth and saw Hillary's name up there, being Hillary, and they thought they were done. You were not done. If you'd have gone down the line there, you would have saw Tammy Duckworth. You would have, I mean, you would have saw your congressman. You would have saw your senators vote. A lot of people didn't do that. And I was stressing last year, I was stressing that fact that if you're going to vote for the president, you also need to vote for your senator, and you need to vote for your congressman, you know, and people did not. They did not. Now they're crying in their soup because of Donald Trump, the worst president in U.S. history. Lying as he's flying. You know, hey, no harm done. Just vote next time. I mean, we got a midterm coming up November 2018. You can change the House of Representatives and the Senate in Congress. You can flip it. Whereas Donald Trump is going to be checked. Everything he proposes or says is going to be checked. He has no checks and balances on him. He doesn't think he needs to be checked and balanced. That's what the legislature is for in Congress. But they don't seem to want to check Trump. Even the judicial branch, the Supreme Court, they don't seem to want to put Trump in check. A lot of people did not vote in the 2016 election. That's why America is the way it is. When you don't vote in these government, in these governor elections for these governorships around the United States, a Republican sneaks in because you didn't vote. You got to remember, the Republicans, the rich people, they are the one percenters. We are the 99 percenters. There's more of us than there are of them. But if you don't vote, if a lot of people decide they don't vote, and that Republican who is running, they are going to be, they are going to get elected. So when you're out there and you voting, you have to vote a straight ticket. You just can't vote for one individual and that's it. Because I've said a million times, if Hillary Clinton was president and she had a Republican Congress, she wouldn't get anything done. They might have just impeached her. If Hillary Clinton would have gotten elected last year, 2016, they would still be talking about her emails. They will still be talking about her emails. Vice President Mike Pence, he used a private email while he was governor. They are not going to delve into that like they did Hillary Clinton. It ain't going to happen because they're all Republicans. Mike Pence is a Republican. Congress is controlled by Republicans. They are not going to do that. Folks, you have to vote. You don't like, well, Donald Trump is, he's embarrassing. He's dishonest. He doesn't have a clue on what's going on. Well, did you vote? You have to get out there and do your duty, folks. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. You have to get out there and do what you have to do. Vote. So, I mean, you messed up in 2016, but you don't have to screw up in 2017. I mean, when November 2017 get here, get your butts out there and vote in the midterm election. Vote for your, vote some of these people out. Some of these Republicans, they need to be voted out. I mean, you can see that when you witness some of these town halls where the Republicans are getting their asses handed to them by their constituency, the people who put their butts in office. So they are vulnerable. They are vulnerable. All you got to do is plaster their face with Trump and they're going to lose. But you have to vote. They are not going to lose if you don't get your butt out there and vote. Get off that couch. Get the Twinkie out of your mouth. I mean, just, I mean, you got to do something. You just, and take, I would tell everybody to take an interest in their government. Find out what's going on because there are so many people out here, folks, that they do not take interest in their government. They don't give a damn. They don't even watch the news. You got people, they don't even go online. And these are working people. They don't they don't watch the news. Hey, did you watch? Oh, man, I don't watch no news. Give me a break. I don't want. Are you on Facebook? No, not me. They act like it's a big deal not to do certain things that they should be doing. Did you vote? No, I'm not voting. I'm not going to vote. My vote don't count. I don't care. I'm not voting for nobody. They're all liars. You know, you have to get out here and do what you have to do or you're going to suffer. These people are talking about cutting Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security. This would not be happening if a lot of people voted. They're talking about this Muslim ban and all this stuff and repealing and replacing Obamacare. None of this would be happening or going on if you had voted. All of these Trump lies and his erratic tweeting would not be taking place if you had voted. So 2018 should be a start over point. Get these guys out of the House of Representatives, out of the Senate. Make some changes. Make a lot of changes. Because This is America. America, you know, I mean, this is America. I mean, you can't hardly, you really can't hardly tell the United States anymore, because we are sinking down further into the sewer with Donald Trump. There is no doubt about that, folks. I mean, a lot of people are going to say, oh, George, we are in some turbulent times. This guy, I don't know this guy. And he's always blaming Obama. Obama this. I don't know why Obama doesn't come out and defend himself. Trump has lied on him 3 or 4 times with no proof, no evidence, no nothing. You know, and Obama would not come out and defend himself. He'll have a spokesman say that it's not true, but he should actually come out and defend himself, because I think he should defend himself against Donald Trump and his senseless attacks, folks. This is just crazy. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let me do this right quick and I'll come right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, we are back, and you are on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead.
Hi, George. It's Angela Guidolin.
Hey.
Hello.
All right. I'm here.
Hi.
Yeah, I got your email, and the minute I got your email, I said, wow, she's probably right. So I contacted the people who, I'm going to call them management. You know, I don't know if they're managers or not, but I'm going to say managers. And I sent them a real tough letter, you know. And and I want to apologize for that, because I think I saw your number pop up once or twice on the screen here. And the minute I tried to bring you in on the show, it didn't happen.
Okay. Yeah, I was
so
really,
my thinking,
I didn't know what to think. You've been cut off from the time for half an hour.
No. I would try to bring you in, and then there was no answer. Then I would just, you know, hang up, you know. And because I'm always thinking it's some, it might be a crank call or something, you know. And anyway, you're on the show. So tell us, give us a bio, small a bio. Tell us about yourself, you know, and all that good stuff. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, my name is Angela Guidolin.
And this is your second time on the show.
Yes. I was, the first time was on the 31st of January. And then you contacted me and you invited me back, and I'm really delighted to be here with you tonight. Well, as I said, my name is Angela Guidolin. I'm a science fiction author. I'm Italian, and I've been living on the English Riviera for the past 6 years. I've previously lived in London as well, where my science fiction romance novella, Across Space Time, is based. And I'm launching it on the 31st of March, so I'm really excited about it. I love reading. Of course, I love writing. I like listening to music. I enjoy meditating and spending time with my daughter whenever she's free.
Did you say you were into finger painting?
No, meditating, meditation.
Okay. Oh, meditating. I'm sorry. Meditating. Okay.
Yes. It's okay.
Okay. Is one of your books that you've written, is one of your books on meditation?
No, it's a science fiction romance novella.
Oh, it's fiction. Okay. So what do you like best about writing?
What I like about writing? I find that to start with, I manage to express my feelings. Okay, so I find it therapeutic. Okay. And not just my feelings, it's my ideas as well. Like this across space time is based on my experience. I was in London in 1995, so what I've written about London, it's from, you know, first-hand experience. And it's how I met my future husband in 1995. We came from very different backgrounds, and you know, that can be very challenging. It can be very appealing as well. So, you know, it's learning to find compromises, and also it's learning about, it's about my personal struggle to find myself. So when I write, I can, how can I say, I can not mix, but I can express everything in an homogeneous way, you know, and
I was going to say that
I can.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry.
Go right ahead. I'm
and I can express freely what I think about our society, and I can experiment with it, you know, like new ways of living, and what, you know, new belief system and so on. So that's what I like about creating the world.
Great. Well. Sounds great. I'm a writer too, and what I like about writing, I like, you know, especially you say you write fiction, right?
Yes.
And fiction is basically a story that you make up. And I love making up stories. I mean, I just think it's so great to just make up. I've made up a lot of them. I just, you know, I sit right here where I'm doing the radio show, and just just anything that comes to my head, I just put it on paper. You know, sometimes I write about things that I have experienced at some point in my life. And that's good that you can put down what you have experienced in some of your fiction stuff that you write. And that's what I do. A lot of, because, you know, they say you have to write what you know sometimes, you know, but I love writing.
Well, I think that is,
it, for me,
yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say about writing what you know. I mean, not necessarily. Otherwise, nobody would write science fiction. You see, I think that what we know, it's the feelings, you know, and the interaction within other human beings. So I draw from that. That's my experience. But you know, I've never time traveled, so. But I like to imagine how it feels like to be free to travel wherever I want throughout, you know, across space and time. And it's like to be, it's like, you know, being kids again.
Yeah. But another thing that's true, every writer is different. No writer is the same. You may come at your story a little differently than I may come at my story, you know. We're all different. We all write differently. And, but, you know, it's some good stuff out there. And it's great. And I know so many people who want to be writers, and they don't know how to start. And I've just said, and I say, if you want to be a writer, just start writing. What do you think?
Yes. To tell you the truth, that's what I did. I started to write, and then I went to a workshop led by a British science fiction author, David Wingrove, and I realized that what I wrote was rubbish. Really rubbish. So I put it on a
rubbish.
Side. Yeah, well, rubbish. Yeah, really rubbish. So, so I thought, okay. He must know, and I enrolled in creative writing courses, you know, and that's what really helped me, because not just from the theoretical point of view, what was good in a to make a story work or not, and the style and so on. But it was the support of the group as well, you know, because they, you are pushed, you know, to do your homework and on time, and that's what really helped me. So it's not just writing; it's about having, well, start right and then have the courage to get feedback. Because there are so many people that are so scared of getting feedback. Mm-hmm. And now, to tell you the truth, if people give me back my manuscript and say, oh, that's nice, I just think, what, did you read it? That's not helpful. You know, tell me what works, what doesn't work, any mistakes. And, you know, and in the beginning, I was so scared. As if the feedback on my writing was judgment on myself, you know?
You know, Angela, I went to a writing class. I went to a writing group, and we had this. We sat all around the table, and everybody was, you know, coming up with their writings, what they've write it, and we were supposed to read it and just check off the mistakes or whatever they had. And I had my little story with me. And this group, that they look like a bunch of crazy people, but they were writers, supposedly. It was a writing group, and we were just reading each other's stories. And I passed out my story around to these about, I think there were about six people. And they and I was kind of upset that they were all writing on my picking out mistakes or something, you know. And what the hell are you gonna writing? Don't write on it, you know. This is wrong. You shouldn't use that word. You should take this word out and replace it with that word. And I'm saying, your story sounds worse than mine. What do you mean? You know, and I wasn't really pleased with it at all. I wasn't really pleased. And they didn't seem like, I don't know. They were just seemed like they were just at the writing group because they didn't have anywhere else to go. So they decided to say, let's get a writing group. But I never joined it because I didn't think I'd fit in. So, and I guess a lot of people have said writing.
Yeah, but I hear you, but I think it really depends on the teacher. I don't know if you had any teacher there, but you know, the teacher I had was very, very good because she encouraged positive feedback, and she would check every so often. We would read in class, and it was really constructive feedback. I learned so much, and it was very supportive. Yeah. You know, there was no competition, so really check it out. I mean, you know, and being a foreigner, I mean, English is my second language, so I really needed somebody to tell me, you know, to check my my writing, especially in the beginning.
I think these support groups, some of these writing groups, some of these writing forms, I think they're great for people who are just starting out. Even if you are a seasoned writer, even if you've got 10 or 20 books, I still think some of these writing classes are good, these forms where you can get feedback on your writing. You let other people read your writing because they have new eyes. They put new eyes on your writing, and they can be really beneficial, I think.
Yes, yes, I agree with you.
All right. Angela Gillily on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks so much for coming. But something I was going to ask you.
Yes.
Can you tell us about your book? I mean, your latest book.
Yes. My book is titled Across Space Time. It's a science fiction romance novella. It's on pre-sale now, and it'll be on sale from the 31st of March.
Okay.
Yes, and I'm going to throw a Facebook party on the 30th, so if people come along, they can take part and meet me and other amazing writers, and take part in raffles, and I can give you my Facebook page. Well, you can find me with the handle at Guidolin, at Angela Guidolin author. Do you want me to spell it?
Yeah, because some people might not be able to spell it. Yeah, you can spell it.
Okay, so it's at Angela, which is AngelaGuidolin, author.
Okay. Do you have a website? Can you give my audience a website? So
yes. It's www. Okay. The same, angelaguidolinauthor.co.uk. Do you want me to spell it again?
No, no, that's fine. That's so fine. As long as you got your not. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you, are your books, go right ahead.
Yes. When the readers go and check out my website, they can download the first two chapters of my book for free.
Okay,
they can read an excerpt.
Okay. Is your book available on Amazon?
It will be available, yes. It's still on pre-sale now, so they keep on checking. Amazon is not there. But on my website, they will find the sites and the links to the online stores that are selling it already, which is Smashwords and Barnes & Noble for the time being. But it will be available on Amazon.
Oh, for the time being. Are you looking to be a famous writer?
Sorry? But I didn't hear you.
Are you looking to be a famous writer?
Famous? I want to. Yeah, why not?
Why not? Yeah. Hey, I'm looking to be a famous writer. Why not? Exactly. Oh, wow. All right. Angela, thanks for being
here. If you want me to read it. Too late now.
Oh, yeah. Go right ahead if you got a piece. No. It's not too late. Go ahead and read it.
Okay. Just a bit of background before I go ahead. Across Space-Time is the story of two time travelers, Samir, who is a Terran, and Beatrice, who is a progressive. She lives beyond the asteroid belt. And that's why she's called a progressive. They chance upon each other in London in 1995, and although they come from very different backgrounds, they fall in love. The piece I'm reading is narrated by Samir.
Okay.
Today is the big day. It's Sunday, and both Beatrice and I are off, so I've helped her finish moving in. Gosh, Beatrice, it looks like the Iraq invasion of Kuwait, I exclaim, once all her possessions are in our room. I told you I had loads of stuff, she says, wearing an impish smile. Never mind, we'll find a way to store everything. You're here now, that's what counts, I say, embracing her tenderly. Thank you for agreeing to give it a go. Thank you for asking. By the way, it is almost 6 now. Shall we get something to eat? Before I can reply, my swatch buzzes. Mom is requesting to see me. I click yes with my right thumb to take the video call and find myself a small clear spot on the bed where I can sit down. In the meantime, Beatrice leaves the room to go to the bathroom. Hello, Mom. You look very worried. Any problems? Yes. 44A has just informed me that you haven't resigned yet. What's going on? I roll my eyes and then murmur that I'm still deciding what to do because I'm in love with a progressive. A progressive. Are you out of your mind? She'll use you for a few weeks, and once you're addicted to her sexual practices, she'll throw you away. Her rage hits me like the energy of a star-gone supernova. My cheeks are on fire, and I cough a few times to recover from the shock. Excuse me? What are you talking about? I snap. I've seen many horror films on progressives, you know. They don't care about other people's feelings. She'll destroy you and your career. But you don't even know her, I bellow and terminate the call. When I raise my eyes from the swatch, I see Beatrice standing in front of me. She's paler than usual and seems about to faint. I stand up quickly so she can take my place on the bed. I'll never leave you. Mom will come round eventually. If she doesn't, it'll be her problem.
Wow, that sounds great. It sounds good. Thank you for reading that on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I want to say it's been a pleasure. It's been fun. I've had a great time. And Angela, I want to thank you for being on the George Wilder Jr. Show once again. You've always been great.
And thank you
I hope you come
me.
Back someday.
It's been a real pleasure.
No problem. All righty. Andrew Gulen on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
No problem. She's fun. She's always sweet, and that's why I have her. And she's a great writer, folks. Check out her writings, especially her future writings. She's going to be a famous writer one day, and I'm going to say, wow, she got her start on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I wish her all the luck in the world. Angela Gulen on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All righty. Once again, I want to thank my guest, Angie Gulelin, for being on the George Wilder Jr. Show, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly. She was marvelous and great. I wasn't overstating it at any time. Anyway, I want to talk about this before the end of this episode for today, which has been great and wonderful. All right. This has just been thrown across my desk. 1 in 3 adults do not participate in exercise. Wow. And that's astonishing. That's a number I didn't know of. But if it's true, it's astounding. 1 in 3 adults do not participate in exercise. That's a lot of people who do not exercise. And a lot of people probably think if you try to get them to exercise, if you talk about exercising, you're crazy. Even if you do exercise, you got to be crazy. But they're wrong. They are wrong. Get up and exercise. Get up off that couch, put that can of beer down, or you're going to die. Get out there and exercise. Move your body. You know, especially for seniors and the elderly, get out there and exercise. Walk 15 minutes a day. You don't have to lift weights. You don't have to go to a gym or anything. You don't have to give up $50 or $100 to join a gym or something. No, be ignored by some personal trainer. You need exercise, you know, but I would not tell anybody. I would be wrong to say go out and exercise if you've never done it before. If you never exercise or you exercise very little in your life, do not go out there and exercise. The best thing you can do is go to your doctor and let him give you the mandate to exercise. If you have not done exercise, if your body is not used to doing even walking, if you're not used to walking, which can be exercise if you do it long enough hard enough, it can be exercise. But if you've never done, if you don't exercise, you sit on your butt all day and whine and complain and talk about folks, then if you want to exercise, see your doctor. But for those of you who are into exercising every day, all the time, your body is built for it, your body can take it, you know, get out there and exercise, you know. But for the people who do not exercise, I'm begging you to get up and exercise. But don't get out there and think you're going to run a mile or walk a mile and you are totally, totally out of shape. You even got to be in shape for walking. You got to be in shape for running. You got to, even if you want to join a gym. I'm not saying do not join a gym. All I'm saying is that you do not have to join a gym to become fit. You can walk yourself fit. And the thing about this is you can also trade in your medication for exercise. You know, I hear a lot of people saying they have arthritis. The best thing for arthritis is exercise, is moving. Even if you have to move through pain, move. You can get rid of heart disease, cancer. I mean, the onset of cancer, diabetes, a whole host of other diseases, heart disease. If you exercise, instead of spending all your money on pills, on medication that is sure to kill you quicker. So I exercise, it's one of my New Year's resolutions, right? You got to get out here and take care of yourself. 1 in 3 people exercising, that's crazy if that's true. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're just about off the air, but folks, get out there and do something for yourself. You'll live longer if you exercise. If you have any kind of pain, any kind of ailment, you know, and you have to take your medication, you can eliminate a lot of that medication just by exercising 30 minutes a day. that's not much out of your time or an hour. You don't need to go to a gym. You can have you can buy an exercise machine and stick it inside your apartment or your condo or your home and get all your benefits of exercising from that machine. But if you can't afford it, the machine, you can't afford to join the gym, walk. Just walk and watch the pain go away. Watch the pain go away. Exercise. It's good for you.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help us all. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw. Heaven help us all.
Yeah, folks, if you haven't exercised in a long while, get your doctor's approval. This is totally, totally important, folks. You need to get out there and stretch your legs. You need to get you need to get your blood boiling. Heart attacks, strokes, exercise is pivotal, if I can say the words. I'm stuttering. It is totally, totally something that you have to do if you want to live longer. If you want to live longer. And also it makes you wonderful. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Join me tomorrow right here. Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody.